know that I'm not worthy to call upon your name. All my life I've been a sinner, and for that I am ashamed. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Would you please come down to me? I know that there are others who could offer more than I. I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. I think I've just hit bottom and I'm looking up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down? Yes, I must be reaping from the seeds that I have sown. Lord, you owe me nothing. We haven't spoken for so long. But if you could spare some mercy, unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I know that there are others who could offer more than I. I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. Would you please come down to me? I think I'm hit rock bottom, and I'm looking up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Come down.
Amen. Thank you very much. All righty. I promise to stop squawking at you at this point. Would you please all put our hands together for Reverend Robert Bumber. You want one more?
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord just one more time. And if you would allow me to, I got some things on my mind and my heart I want to cover before I give you the message. This message won't be long this morning, as we have three services at the church today. Well, we have this, then we got 11:30, then we got a 2 o'clock service. And one of them, Candace, is our worship leader, so I know I have to get her back to the church on time so that she can do her thing. Amen, amen. And we want to congratulate Candace again. Last year, she played on a soccer team, and they didn't win a game. Amen. But yesterday, they had the first game, and they won it. Amen. So I don't want you to get in that habit of losing. I want you to start winning so you can have that winning attitude. So I was proud of that. She's doing a great job with that. And It's funny when you make notes and you don't know what your notes say. Yeah. That's why when I preach, I don't use notes because I can't never understand what I have down here. I don't even know my thought pattern here. But we pray that y'all pray for Mom. She had a rough time, and we've been rolling ever since Thursday. We get off from work at 10 at night and go up to the hospital and be there a while and come back, go to work, and then you leave work, you go back to hospital. Three services a day, and then after that, we go back to the hospital. So it's a rough day. I'm not feeling well this morning. Y'all pray for me. Hey, amen. I got a terrible headache, and that little area that gives me some trouble is acting up this morning. So all it is, the devil, he's a liar, and the truth ain't in him. Amen. He tries to pull us down, but we just won't let him. Amen. Because he's a loser. I don't associate myself with losers. Amen. Amen. I've got the victory with Christ. But I'm a truthful fella. Whether folk like it or not, I just tell it like it is. And the reason why I bring these things up, because I want y'all to pray for me. Amen. Amen. Intercessory prayer is the best thing we got going. Amen. Where we can pray for one another when we're going through things, and all of us have gone through things. But I also want to inform you, I don't know if you remember last year, I was telling you, Silver Hill, praise the Lord, DC might be there 10 years, but we're a small church. And I tease them all the time because we're like low income, no income, and fixed income. Low income, no income, and fixed income. We have a lot of elderly folks, and out there in Fauquier County, they farmers and things like that and all. But in the time that I've been there, we've been blessed. We've done like about $80,000 to $90,000 worth of improvements to the church. Amen. On low income, no income, and fixed income. It's sure what God can do. Amen. And last year, God told me that we needed to do something about our windows and doors. And we got to praying on that thing. And two of the contracts that we had during those $90,000 worth of improvements to the church left us high and dry. Amen. And we went to the labor board, and the labor board fined one of them $10,000. And they supposed to repay the church. Well, the day after we got the letter that they were found guilty of all those 14 counts and they had to pay us $10,000, the next week they filed bankruptcy. So, you know, we didn't recoup any of that. But God is a good God, and you don't need anything but your faithfulness, and God will bless you. And I told the church, we're going to move forward. We're going to do some things, and we needed our doors and windows replaced. And our church was knocking down a church to build a $6 million church. And they had the most beautiful windows. As a matter of fact, I don't know why they was knocking down church, because a lot of folks are looking for churches now and homes and places to worship and all, and they wanted to make it a parking place. Mercy Jesus. Amen. And so I heard about it, and we went up there, and then when we got up there, they had told us that you could get all the supplies and everything you need, pews, air-conditioned fans. Well, we didn't need all of that stuff. So Reverend Kelly, Brother Dick, that's the one you was asking me about, and him and I went up there, and we two bold characters. I'm going to tell you, we bold characters. We went up there, and the place was empty. Reverend Kelly, bless his heart, he was getting Bibles and hymnals, and he was getting everything, and we were looking at the windows and said, we're going to get the windows. We're going to ask him about these windows and doors. So they told us, they said, well, you know what? Y'all can have them. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful windows and doors. And they told, but you all have to come take them out. So that's not a problem for us. We can destroy stuff quick. Then they call us about a week later and say that they took the windows and doors out for us and that they was waiting for us. And we've had them a year. out in our shed because, you know, like I said, no income, low income, fixed income, and labor and all that stuff was expensive. And we had three different people who was going to do that work for us. And all of them canceled out, changed their mind. But I'm like this. Folk come in JCPenney where I work, and when I look at their checkbooks, when they give me a check, and I see that they're construction companies. I see that they I'm checking the checks before I put it in the drawer. Ooh, construction company. So I just let them know, yeah, do you do this kind of work? Do you do this, do this, do this? And I know God will take care of it for me. And so here about 2 weeks ago, a guy whose company does the work for JCPenney's, and I talked to him, and he said, well, let me come out and take a look-see and see what we got. And so he came out, and he looked at everything, and he said, well, I tell you what, because he didn't know I was the pastor of a church. He knew I worked at JCPenney's. So when he got to the church and saw me on the yard, he said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm the pastor. It's your church? I said, yes, it's kind of my church, and I'm the pastor here. And so he looked at everything and checked out everything. He said, well, the door is no problem. The windows, since the windows got a, like a C shape to it, he said, that'll take me a little bit longer. But he said, okay, I'll do it. I'll take care of it for you. And I said, well, we'll pay for the cost of materials, whatever you need to fix it or whatever. We'll scrounge it up somehow and take care of that. So he told me, he said, no, I said, I'll take care of it. I said, what do you mean? He said, it will be no charge to the church for labor, no charge for supplies. Wow. Amen. So he's looking to get started on that. You know how church get kind of despondent that it went into beautiful winter sitting over there for a year. You know, but to me, it doesn't matter how long it takes. Amen. God will provide. I heard that on the radio this morning. So I wanted to share that with you because as pastor, that really makes me feel good. See how God can take nothing and make something out of it. Isn't that right? Give God a hand. Amen. Give God a hand. And the last thing before I get into my message, I've always thought, you know, of Wise being here now 28 years. Really, it's my church. And I've told you before, I feel closer to being pastor here than I do at Silver Hill, being there 10 years, being here 28 years, and have met the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life. So I feel like I'm pastor here. So, Terry, when was it last week or week before last? We were looking at the Wise thing on the computer. I was upstairs, and she called me, come on, come on. Come on, come down here. I said, what? She said, I'm looking at the Wise on the internet. And I always tell her I ain't coming down there because when I get down there, she ain't never got it. Amen, amen. But this time I came down and I was looking at it. And something struck me, Sister Becky, when I saw the thing. We got to one of the pages and it said, co-pastor Robert Bummer. I said, I didn't know nothing about that. I said, whoa, I done talked myself into being a co-pastor somewhere. Isn't that something? So we were both down there sharing with that. And this morning, see, Judy, you didn't know you touched me this morning like that. Yeah, she don't even know what she said. Amen. She was introduced me to this sister right here. And she go, this is our pastor, Robert Bummer. I said, you mean I've been all this stuff and all, and I ain't know nothing about it. I could have been putting it on my resume and everything. must be, man. Lord have mercy, man. I said, I changed for the first of the year. Amen, amen. But we still wrestling with that. That is great to hear something like that. That's great. Y'all just cease to amaze me. I don't like to take pictures because I got a bald head and shine all the time. And some people say I have a some people say I have a halo. I say, you taking pictures and I'm bald and it's shining and it's flashes. It's not a halo. Just give me some powder or something so I can kind of brush it down a little bit or something like that. Tone it down just a little bit. Amen. But you guys just cease to amaze me. And I don't know if I told you, we still praying about it. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about retiring from pastoring at Silver Hill this December. Folk trying to get me to stay. But it's been a rough year for me health-wise and everything else. And been talking, man. Oh. Yeah, I remember you guys told me one time when I was telling you about that, because I said, if I can get 30 years at the wilderness, I said, I'm going to sit down after that. And I remember you saying before, no, 30 more after that. I said, I'm trying to do the math, 64 and 30 more. with God, all things are possible. Amen. But I have such an affinity with wise. I guess God say, until they say, hey, get out, you finish, you through. I didn't even know I was co-pastor, pastor, none of that kind of stuff. So y'all can fire me. I still wouldn't know nothing about it because I ain't know nothing about it. So it wouldn't hurt me at all. So we're going to try to last as long as we can. And all the preachers and all are on me. They tell me I got a lot more to do for the Lord. The church don't want me to leave, and y'all pray with me about that things and see what the Lord has to say. We in the flesh sometimes we get wore down and wore out and everything else, and so we don't know what to do. But for the lesson today, no, I'm not going to let y'all get away with this one. The last time I was here, Brother Howard, and some of you other folk, I was giving a little bit about the sermon, and I was talking about how I was getting older and slowing down. See, I didn't know what y'all was laughing about. It takes me a little while to catch on to stuff. So I didn't catch on until I got home that night. And I was talking about how I was slowing down, and I looked at Terry, and I said, Terry, you can tell them I'm really slowing down. I don't go like I used to do and fast like I used to do. And everybody started laughing. And I ain't had a clue what they were laughing about. You know, y'all got to do something about y'all mind. Y'all need to get up out the gutter. Amen. Because I wasn't talking about nothing like that. I was talking about how I ran the house and stuff. I run up the steps, run down the steps, and energy in the house, cleaning, doing all this stuff. And I slowed down a lot. And I wanted her to be my witness. But I think y'all took it in a whole new light. And I didn't think about it until I got home. I got home and turned, I was talking. And I said, yeah, what did Howard mean said when Howard say, yeah, he got out there, but he kind of covered it up a little bit and all. I said, what was Howard talking about? Then it dawned on me. Oh. I said, next week I got to get this straight. I ain't letting that run like that. Amen, amen. But that was real comical. So I tell you that what you say, brain freeze? I didn't catch it last week. It took me that night to catch on to what I was doing. But the lesson today is dealing with something that we all are hooked up in. And the Lord told me I want to talk about it a little bit because a lot of people have been asking me questions. You know, this area has been hit here lately with the hurricane, the earthquake, tornado, all of these things. And, I mean, people have been bombarding me about these things going on and what has happened. I say, are you reading your Bibles? It's all in the Bible. A lot of things you can keep on. You can watch the Middle East. That'll tell you everything that's going on. Amen. And you can look at the things that's been going on with all of these earthquakes, hurricanes, and all these kind of stuff. It's all scriptural. It's all in the Bible. And folk may ask me, Pastor, what's going on? Go in your Bibles, if you will, and we're going to cover this briefly because I know you'd have been covered by what your pastors and your studies and everything. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. I don't know what it is in your pew Bibles, but if when someone get it, you can holler it out for me. I have a few scriptures here today, so I don't want to have to worry you to death with a whole bunch. But this one I think you need to have. Did anyone get it yet? Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. 506? Okay, and your Bible's out there is 506. Ecclesiastes, third chapter, and start with, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. We want to speak from the topic this morning, what time is it? Amen. It tells us all these different times. But really, in lieu of all that's going on, we ask the question, what time is it? Now, I know myself I shouldn't ask that question because I know what the Bible says, but everybody been asking me, what time is it? What time are we living? Now, go to the Acts of the Apostles. This is the last one I'll have you look up. I'll look up the rest. The Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. The Acts of the Apostles, first chapter. Somebody can get that for me. Now, pray for me this morning. I got this terrible headache. Got this pain in my side. So we're going to get through it. Amen. Amen. We're going to get through it. First thing is the store opened up this morning. I was down at CVS. They wasn't even open. I said, I got to get me some stuff to help me through the day. Amen. So I was loaded up on stuff. Don't think I'm a druggie now, Howard, because he mistook me last week for something. Well, Howard, see, I wouldn't have thought about it if Howard hadn't said nothing last week. When he came and said, how I had to cover it up. I ain't have a clue what he was talking about. See, I caught that a day late. I'm going to get everybody straight because everybody, Howard wasn't the only one now. A lot of y'all started laughing when I was saying what I was saying now. Amen. The Acts of Apostles, the first chapter, 800 in the pew Bibles, 800. We're talking about Christ's 40-day ministry. Amen. And everybody kind of knew that he was alive and not dead. We'll look at verse 4 and through 7. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. See, we asking about things God said, you don't need to know that. God is telling us we need to be busy preparing ourselves to get ready for his return. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things we should be doing and not worrying, amen, about when he's coming back. He said we should always watch as well as pray. We need to see what's going on. Study our Bibles. Amen. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God said, prepare yourself. Know what's going on. Know what you have to do. Amen. Because he said he's coming back to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. So we're spending our time worried about the end times. People are asking about, Lord, Pastor, what are we going to do about the tribulation? All this stuff happening, what are we going to do? I don't know about you. I'm not planning on being in the tribulation. Amen. Come on now. Amen. God's going to translate the church for all those who are saved. Or your Bible might say, your Bible don't say, but we say rapture. But I'm talking about the translation of the church. Amen. If you belong to Christ and you rooted and grounded in him, you don't have to go through the tribulation. So why even worry about it? If I don't have to go through it, why do I worry about it? Only worry I have is trying to convince souls to accept Christ so that when it does happen, you know that you're going to be with the Lord. Am I right about it? Amen. Don't worry about anything you can't handle or you can't change. It's going to happen. It's coming. The tribulation and everything is coming. Folk worried about what time is it. And they worry themselves to death about what's going on in the world today. And I took the liberty of marking some scriptures because I wanted to talk with you about it. Amen. If I can get back where. There's a scripture that even talk about what's going on in our households. Amen. It's dealing with something else. When Jesus was talking to his disciples and all, he was talking about his return and when he's coming back and how the kingdom going to be proclaimed. Amen. When he comes back. And you don't have to go there. I'm going to read this because I got a couple of scriptures. Matthew 10, verse 21 and 22 to 23. And look what it says. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, amen, and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. Amen. But when they persecute you in this city, you go to another. For verily I say unto you, you should have not gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man has come. Amen. He said, look around you, what's going on. Families are being torn apart. Amen. Children fighting the parents. I even know children that have killed the parents for money to get drugs. Amen. They get high. They get all these kind of things. And they households are being ripped apart. That's what they say. Brother against brother. Children rising up. Is this not happening in our world today? Amen. God said it's going to happen. It's coming to fruition. Whether you got anything to do with it, you don't have anything to do with it. You have to live right for Christ's sake. And all this other stuff, we can be praying together about it so that God can take care of it. But he said, all these things, it's going to happen. Because if you look, when he saw, all of this is in red print to let you know that Jesus, the master, is talking. Amen. And when he's talking, forget that E.F. Hutton stuff. Amen. Forget that E.F. Hutton stuff, because when Christ speaks, everybody better be listening. Amen. You know, they say this stuff on TV and everything else. But when Christ talk, we need to pay attention to what he's saying. Because it is real and it's going to happen. All right. Another scripture. Lord have mercy. Amen. In Matthew 24th chapter, talking about Daniel 70 week of years in the end times when he was talking about all those things. And the 24th chapter, starting with verse 4. Okay, wait a minute. No, let me start with verse 1. I look back, I see something we need. Amen. 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple and his disciples. And they came to him to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Talking about the temple of Jerusalem. And disciples asked some questions. They want to know when this is going to happen and what exactly is going to happen. Amen. Folk are asking all these questions now. Christ and I always told you about it. You just need to open up your Bible and start reading your Bible. Amen. Because that's the one you want to ask. These questions, Jesus himself, look with 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. Disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when, you remember I say, when and what? He said, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Isn't that what they're asking now? When the end of the world? When is it going to happen? When you coming back? I done told you, Jesus, it's a time for everything. And then over in the Acts of the Apostles, when he said, you don't need to know the time. Isn't that something? Amen. Amen. You need to prepare to meet him. See, everybody want to know when so they can prepare. You know, it's just like at my store. When the big bosses come from Dallas, guess what? They tell us so we can make the place look good and everything. If I was one of them people in Dallas, guess when I'd come? When you don't know about it. And somebody help me out here now. Amen, amen, amen. When they don't even know I'm coming, amen. That's when I would do it. Because you, if they know you're coming, that place is going to be spotless. Amen, amen. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. In Revelation, he said, hey, I'm coming quick. He didn't say when. Yeah, in his time. Everything is in his time frame. But we want to know it in advance. Why? So I can get right. Amen. You tell folk to get right now. They ain't ready yet. I still got some partying to do. They say, oh, I got to sow some oats and all this kind of stuff. I got to do this. I got to do that. Amen. Lord have mercy. He said, behold, I come quickly. You're not, you might be in the middle of your sins when he come. Guess what? You lost forever. Amen. Folk telling me now, they say, well, pastor, I'm almost there. I'm almost saved. I said, well, you're all the way lost. Somebody walk with me now. Amen. You can't be almost saved. Sound like King Agrippa when he said, I'm almost persuaded, Paul. I'm almost persuaded. Amen. I got folk in the church sometime. I be preaching the word of God. Amen. And y'all know me. I walk all over the place and everything. And folk will come up and, Pastor Bummer, boy, you almost had me. Boy, you almost had me, man. I said, no, I ain't happy. Ain't no almost any. When the Holy Ghost hits you, guess what? You hit. Amen. Amen. You hit. You ain't got time for none of that stuff. Yeah, man. I almost came down there. Amen. And then you see the other folks sitting in the chair, and they're looking at you very stoic. Amen. You know what? They don't want folks see them with the Holy Ghost coming on them. You know, folk, you know, you watch folk in church. Amen. They want to hide it. Amen. That's nothing to hide. Let me tell you the truth. If the Holy Ghost really hits you, you can't hide it anyhow. There's nothing you can do about it. He just smacks you upside your head and you shouting, you're running, you're doing all these things. But see, some folk, they don't want to look crazy. Amen. I learned from my Bible, say that we are peculiar people. Am I right about it? We act strange sometimes. Amen. I know I do. That's a lot of preachers don't like Bummer. Amen, because I act strange, man. And they go, man, that boy crazy. That boy crazy. He run all up and down the aisle. He jumping all up and everything. Amen. Bible say praise him. Kevin read it this morning. He read it this morning. He said, you know, praise him with everything that you have. And when folk got healed in the Bible, they ran, they jumped. David, when he got the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he danced in the street. Come on now, Michelle didn't like it. You know, oh, you the king. You acting all crazy and stuff like that, all that dancing in the street. Well, the Ark of the Covenant got back to, amen, Jerusalem, where it's supposed to be. Amen. When they tried to get it there the first time around, amen, amen, it didn't get that way. David then built a new cart. Ain't built it the way God say to build it now. They built it that way. Amen. And when it went eight paces, the guy that touched it to keep it from falling, amen, died. Because God already said, don't touch it. Say, don't touch it lest you die. They died. Amen. So they left that Ark of the Covenant there. They left it there. Then David decided to pray about it and go get it. When he did it the Lord's way, they got it. And they brought it back home. Amen. So when David got it back home, they took four, six paces. Didn't nobody die. They were happy to get it back home. So why? David got home and he started dancing in the streets. Amen. Come on now. It's not enough praise in God's church when God does something good for us now. It's not enough praise. So folk are sitting in the chair and they refuse to shout. They refuse to move. Amen. They refuse anything. But I see them from the pulpit. I'm sitting up high. They sitting out there. They sitting like this. When I look on the table, the feet is going, the hand is going, everything going. But they don't want nobody to see them. Amen. Acting strange. But we are peculiar people. Amen. Amen. When we sick. Amen. A brother told me, he said, man, you sure look good. And I said, man, I feel it. He said, ah. He said, I know what he was getting at. Don't you say that up in here. Hey, man, I was going to let him know, man, I'm feeling bad. Mama's sick. I'm tired. I'm everything else. All he said was, op. I said, you right. You right. Lord have mercy. You all right. You all right. That's why I didn't give Kevin my name when I asked for prayer, because I had a whole list of stuff I was going to tell, man. The whole service would have been done just for me. Hey, man, everything this morning. But you got to let go and let God. And sometimes, amen, when you are so burdened down, that's when God can really use you. Amen. Because you give out yourself and start trusting in the Lord. Amen. And you start focusing on God, he'll make everything all right. Amen. May not be your time frame or anything like that, but he will make everything all right. And here, God wants the people to know these things going to happen. Don't get all upset. Because they're going to happen. Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't let folk go around fooling you. Know what the words say. Just because a preacher say something up in the pulpit, it doesn't mean it's right. Amen. I've heard folks say some crazy stuff in church. And diggers and everybody in church going, amen. When you say amen, you're saying that's right, whatever he's saying up here. You better know what he's talking about, because they'll deceive you. Amen. They will deceive you. But if you study your word and you allow the Spirit to lead you in your interpretation of the scriptures, you're going to know what the right way, what God truly meant. And look what he's saying. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. There's a lot of folk making themselves prophets, making themselves apostles. Come on, I can tell you a lot about them apostles now. Only true apostles, those who walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. Who saw, amen, amen, and was there for his resurrection. All these other people just making themselves apostles, man. Amen. It's going to, I'm apostle this, and I'm this, and they can't tell you nothing. Amen. Don't fool with them. If they're quoting the scriptures correctly, then you can listen to them. Because you know the scripture for yourself. Look what he said in verse 6. Ooh, this is good here. He said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. How long have we been hearing from wars in all these countries? They fighting like mad. Amen. Overseas, everywhere, they fighting like mad. Our country even fighting. We can't get along. Am I right about it? Folk talk about, now don't y'all take this the wrong way now. But folk talking about prejudice between the whites or the blacks, or the Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics and all these kinds of stuff. I told my church one day, I said, y'all fussing about prejudice and stuff like that, and y'all can't even get along in here. And we all black. Help me out here now. We all black, and we talk about prejudices, and we can't get along, and we can't sit with each other, same color and everything else. What more prejudice than that? I'm not going to sit beside you like the Hatfield and McCoys and all that kind of stuff up in the church. Walk down the aisle and won't sit by this person. Amen, because they don't like them. Amen. Even when we feed for dinner, got a guest church coming in today. Amen. When we go in the cafeteria to eat, the dining hall to eat, and all, certain folk won't sit by certain folk. And we got this thing in some of the churches where they call it the head table. Oh, y'all don't hear me now. Amen. The head table, everybody sitting there, the guest preacher and all the preachers, all the diggers and digging wives, got this table look like the Last Supper or something other. Got a table stretched from here to over there. Got the best china, silverware, big old goblets and everything else. And everybody else got paper plates. Come on, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. They got paper plates, cups, paper cups, amen, and everybody up at that head table, like they somebody, not at Silver Hill, amen. I have pastors come in there, wear the head table, anywhere you sit. We don't have a head table here. I can go and sit by the littlest of children if I want. If they want to talk to the pastor, I can go sit by them. I can sit by anybody. Anybody that can sit by anybody, get your plate and all like that. Amen. Come on, help me out now. Amen. And you go to some of them fancy churches, the pastor and everybody sit out there at that table and all, and they bring them food. I go get my food. Come on now, help me out. That's a form of separating yourself. Amen. God wants us to come together. You know, I have a greater calling sometimes because I've been called to pastor. I've been called to preach. But it's great responsibility that goes with that title in there. But I don't set myself up at, like I'm better than you because I'm the pastor of the church. No, that don't work. See, we getting all messed up in God's house. Amen. God said, greater love have no man than this, that a man will lay down his life. And only, he said, you shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I ain't talking about that phony love. I'm talking about the real love. If I'm separating myself from the people because I'm up here eating off the best china, you got a paper plate. Come on, help me out now. I don't understand that stuff. And that's why preachers get mad at old mummery. I'm used to sitting at the head table. You might be at the head one back in the back somewhere, but you find yourself a seat and sit down. We're going to treat you right now, but we're not separating ourselves from anybody. Amen. And that's what they do. Jesus said, not everybody that say, Lord, Lord. Excuse me, got a little brain freeze there. I like your word better. Amen. Not everybody that say, Lord, Lord, going to enter in. Everybody trying to be somebody. Everybody want to be looked up to and all these kind of things. The only looking up you need to do is look up to see Jesus. Amen, amen. You look up to see Jesus. And you don't have to look up to see Jesus if you got him in here. Am I right about it? You don't have to look up. Amen. He's already in here. Amen. He's in here dwelling in the person of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. Amen. I don't have to die to go see Jesus. Amen. There's a lot of folk, you know, I can't wait till he come back. Or, I can't wait to die to go be with him. I tell him everywhere I go, Gene, I can wait because he's right here. Amen. I don't have to go very far at all. All I have to do is look inside of myself and he should be dwelling in there. That don't mean I'm perfect. It does not mean I don't make mistakes because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory. The key to it is when we as Christians sin, we know that the Bible say when we sin, there's a separation between us and God. He don't know you when you sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the key about a Christian. If he knows he done sin, he gonna confess immediately. Amen. Sometimes we don't know we sin. Amen. Of omission. Amen. Come on now. And commission. Amen. Omission is when we sin and don't realize it. That's why when I talk to God every day, all day long, I say, Lord, if I've done anything, amen, that's displeasing in your eyesight, please forgive me and have mercy on me. Amen. Because I know God say, if we sin every day, you got to realize we sin every day. And sin commands, and the word commands that we confess. So don't let anybody deceive you. Like he said, men ain't going to come in my name, but they're going to be deceiving you. You should hear wars, rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Everybody all upset because all the trouble that's going on in our world today. Amen. Oh, Lord, Jesus must be coming back soon. Or this is, the world is almost over with all this mess is gone. Jesus said, don't you be troubled. Because what? These things has to happen. Amen. It has to happen. So it's going to happen. He said, don't get all upset. People having heart attack and dying. Amen. Come on now. They having heart attack and dying. Why? Because they're afraid. Scared of what's going on. Amen. Amen. All you got to do is trust in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your pathways. Amen. Trust the God will lead you. Say, the footsteps of a good man are what? Ordered. Ooh, Lord have mercy. It's ordered by the Lord. Lord said, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. He's ordering our footsteps, and sometimes we don't even know it. Amen. We wonder why we doing things. Amen. Why? God ordered it. Amen. And if he ordered it, it's going to happen. Look what else it says here. For nation shall rise against nation. Isn't that happening? Amen. And kingdom against kingdom. Uh-oh. And there shall be famines. Is that happening? Pestilences. Is that not happening? Amen. And earthquakes in strange places. Oh, somebody help me out, Holy Ghost, now. Amen, amen, amen. Right around this little area. Boy, when that thing shook everything, hey, Lord, have mercy. Jesus, things were falling off the walls. Amen. The building was shaking. I was up in Maryland. Amen. That stuff was shaking and falling. We was in the building, and the stuff was acting up. Not like y'all got it, though, because we was in a big building. And we happened at that around that time we had a meeting, a little meeting we had to be at, and that stuff started shaking everything. Everybody looking at each other, what in the world? And it wouldn't stop, amen. And we was all there, amen, until somebody said terrorists. The place emptied out. Let me tell you right now, the place emptied out. Cause at first we were just wondering what in the world. Going on. Somebody said terrorist. Everybody shot for the door then. Amen. And everybody was telling me what was happening around there. They tell me J.C. Penney's things was coming off the wall, the merchandise coming off the wall. Is this not a strange for us around here? This area? Is it not strange? Did he say earthquakes in strange places? Come on, y'all walk with me now. Amen. He said, you're going to have earthquakes in some strange places. Amen. And then a couple of days later, Candace and Terry telling me, did you feel that earthquake we had? I said, that was the other day. No, last night, Daddy, 1 a.m., 12 a.m., we had another one, and it was 4.3. Come on, help me out here now. God had to let you know, I'm in control. Amen, I'm in control now. But that's what the Bible says, you're going to have earthquakes in strange places. And look what the verse 8 say. All these are the beginning of sorrows. If you want to know what time we're living in, the beginning of sorrows. I go around telling people, what that man talking about? He must be out of his mind. I said, we're living in the beginnings of sorrow. These things have to happen. God is setting it off in order so that he loves to make a grand entrance. That's why I love my Jesus. Amen. We can't shout down here. We can't sing down here. But the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Jesus is going to be shouting. And we ask the folk to praise the Lord in the church. And they go, amen. But Jesus come back with a shout. With the trump. Am I right about it now? Word, the trump of God. And the voice of the archangel. Am I right about it? Now he coming to meet us. Amen. And we ain't making no noise. We won't shout. We won't praise the Lord. The Lord done blessed us over and over and over again. You know, we just sit there just happy to be here. Amen. But I'm going to praise the Lord. I would be shouting and running this morning. I just don't feel good, like they say. I don't feel like shouting. Amen. But somebody shout for me. I do the best I can because God don't want us to be stupid either, Judy. Amen. If you feel real bad, tone it down a little bit. Get all worked up. I get all excited for the Lord. Next thing you know, I done had a heart attack, fell out in the floor. I don't know who won't kiss me to give me some mouth to mouth. Amen. Because my breath might not be right today, kicking or something. I told him in church one day, Kelly, Reverend Kelly, said, man, my chest hurting, this and that and all. If I have a heart attack while I'm preaching, it's okay. I know somebody going to give me mouth to mouth. I said, not me, brother. I'm praying for you, but I ain't giving you no mouth to mouth. You know, I said, you have a heart attack, then you liable to die, man, because unless God heal you, I ain't kissing you. Amen. I would try, though. I would try. But the time is the beginning, amen, of sorrows. Let me see. I had something else here. I can't find it now. Where I had it. Oh, here it is. Wait a minute. I know I'm right here at it. Okay. Yeah. Matthew 24. But we're talking about the great tribulation, the last half of the week, that week, a 70th week of Daniel. Look at verse 29. I like this. It gives you a little bit of indication of what's going to be happening at the end times. It gives you just a little bit of indication of that tribulation time frame. Look what 29 said. And we're talking about when Jesus come back at the close of the tribulation period. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to do more teaching today because I ain't got the energy to run and jump today. Amen. Look what it says in 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Come on. And the moon shall not give her light. Amen. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Lord have mercy. He preaches, telling about when he's coming back and this and that and all this kind of stuff. Jesus already said, yeah, this is going to happen when I come back. So if you want to know when I come back, read your Bible. He's saying when he comes. That's all in red right there. He's speaking. Amen. You want to know when I'm coming back? You really don't need to know when I'm coming back. Just be prepared when I come back. That's what he's saying. But he said, well, at the close of the tribulation, amen. If you hanging around, I ain't planning on being around. I'm telling you, I ain't going through tribulation. So I don't have to worry about that. But he said, for those who left, he said, look here, you're going to look up and you're going to see what trouble's going on in the stars. Stars, moon, not going to give a light anymore. Stars falling, all these kind of things and all. And you're going to see the Son of Man coming. Isn't that something? Jesus telling us, amen, what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. Everybody pinpointing and to 2000 this and a long time ago, 19 this, 19 that. Just read your Bible. Just read the Word of God. And you know when he's coming back. But I'm not worried about that. Because I'm going to work like mad to maintain my salvation. So when he come back, I know I'm going to be with him. That's what I'm concerned about. And guess what? I want you to be there. 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 I want all God's people to be there. I believe Jesus has not come back yet because there's still more to be saved, more to be ushered in. It's God wished that none should perish. Amen. Amen. But that all should come to repentance, because our world is in a sad shape, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than that. And it begins with the leadership in our country. Come on, help me out here now. Amen. It begins with all that stuff. So God is a patient God. He put up more of it. If I was God, I'd have wiped everybody out. Come on now, help me out. But he's a God of grace. Amen. The Bible says his grace is sufficient for us. Why is his grace sufficient? He done gave you the roadmap. He done told you when everything gonna happen. You can look up and this time, don't worry about this. He said, it's not for you to know the times that the Father put in the sand. It's not for you to know it. Amen. And then he went up and said, hey, this earthquake, everybody all shook up. It's just the beginning of sorrows. See, don't be troubled. Don't be worried. All of this stuff must happen. He got a roadmap. He got a plan. He's the great architect. Amen. And it's going to happen the way he said it. Now, I asked you in the beginning, what time is it? Go back to Ecclesiastes. Well, I know I'm in bad shape now. Now the page is getting blurry. Lord, have mercy. That's God saying, time to shut up now. You done everything I asked you to do. You remember in that third chapter, it was telling you it was a time for everything. And then after I asked it, I gave you my title. What time is it? I done told you about when Christ coming back. I done told you about he said there's going to be wars, rumors, war, pestilence, children rising up against the parents, rising up against each other. Folk ain't going to get along for anything. Okay, what time is it? Look at 12, verse 13 and 14. Look what it says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. That word fear means trust God. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What time is it? It's time to fear the Lord. It's time to trust the Lord. and to keep his commandments. God bless you.